Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's great to be back again. Thanks for the invite. Naomi couldn't be here this morning, but she is sending her love and her greetings to everyone. And it's just amazing to be here, listening to all those songs about reflecting the heart of the Father. It is just thanks, Alex and Perry and Graham at the back and everybody who serves in this church, all of us together. Revealing the heart of the Father in many different ways. So all of us are equal, you know, in the eyes of God. So that's his heart for all of us. But this morning I brought a friend of mine who did ministry with me at City Church. I'm no longer at City Church because God has moved me on in mostly doing itinerant ministry, going different places to share the heart of the Father with churches, particularly coming out of the pandemic. You know, how some of us have been crushed by it, our spirits have been crushed by it, but I'm just a voice, a boy from Cape Town who came to the UK, who loves the UK, and is to release the heart of the Father to the people in the UK. So God has released me to do that more now, to go to churches and just coming in and just intertwining with the church and say, I've got something to give and I want to give that to the church. And that's why I'm here. And I was saying to my friend that this church, I can speak highly of this church based on my experience. I will say it all the time, and you can't get mad at me, because that's the truth. It means a lot to me, because I've seen the heart of the Father being revealed while I was here, me and my wife, and we still talk about the amazing things that God has done in us and through us, where we came here and just shared the heart of God collectively. So Desiree is he did youth ministry with me, and I've said to him that I want him to come and share testimony of the heart of the Father towards him, because two is better than one. So I just had to bring another brother and say, come and inspire and bless the church. So as Desiree comes, he's going to share a short testimony about the heart of the Father, and then I will go into Luke chapter 15. So here you are, my brother. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah. My testimony really just it's based around how the Lord provided for me with work. So I recently graduated from university around 2020. I was undertaking a course in computer application development, so working with software and web and websites and things of that nature. So as you all know, when 2020 hit, there was the pandemic and a lot of jobs were not employing. So they made it very hard for me to find a job. One issue that made it even difficult was that I didn't have the commercial experience. So when I was applying, a lot of companies were turning me down because I didn't have the experience to work in industry, because I've just recently come out of uni. So I just had the knowledge, but just not the expertise to apply it. So throughout 2020 until June of 2021, I was applying. I wasn't getting anywhere because a lot of companies were just very reluctant to take on new employees, because they were having to reduce their workforce because of the money they were losing through the pandemic, and also because I didn't have the sufficient experience that they were looking for. It was just a matter for me about praying and just asking the Lord to open the way and provide me a job so I can be able to put my degrees and my skills to expertise. It was a very vicious cycle, because whenever I would apply, they would say, "Oh, you have the skills, you have the qualification, but you don't have the experience." But then the only way of getting the experience is if you get given the opportunity. So it was just going a merry-go-round, and that happened for about 6 months, just of constant rejection, getting close, and then they were just like, "No, you're just missing that little bit here." And it was really around December. Ricardo actually asked me about my work situation. He said, "Oh, you finished university now. What are you doing?" And I was a bit shy to kind of tell him, because I just felt embarrassed. Like, I've been applying, but a lot of people have been turning me down. But you know, knowing Ricardo and just how very encouraging he can be, I just opened up to him. He said, "No, don't worry. You know, God will open a place for you. You know, you just continue to trust the Lord. He'll make things good for you." And lo and behold, there was an opportunity in my university. They were offering internships to former graduates of the last 3 years who graduated. That's why it was of 2019 to 2020, 2021. So I graduated in 2020, so I qualified to join that scheme. And the internships, originally those internships were more like to do with human skills, so working with retail, maybe working with other human resources and other type of people, communication skills. So not something that I studied because I was very IT oriented. So, but you know, at this point, I was desperate because I wanted to get a job and just be able to kind of form some kind of experience, even if it wasn't tailored to my qualification. So, there were three roles that were opening, and then each of them had like two interview stages. So, I applied for all three of them. I was successful in the first interview stages, but then in the second stages, I got the same repeated answer from all of them. They're like saying like, you're good, but you're just too IT qualified. And then, so then I was like, there's a new program now. I was overqualified for the role. Like, you haven't got the enough people skill because you're too machine oriented, so we can't really take you on. So, you know, so that made it just even more difficult. And like, and it was at that time it was easy for me to give up and try to find something else. But Ricardo just encouraged me, saying, no, continue. I believe God will give you a place at the university, which seemed very unlikely because those were the only internships they were offering, and they were only 6 months worth of internship. So come now late December, so just approaching Christmas, the university reached out to me again. They said, we have another internship, but this one was more IT oriented, very tailored to what I studied. But and then the issues with this one, it was a bit higher in terms of the qualification were more than what I had. So they were asking for more than what I had in my qualification. So now I was at a disadvantage. So I was like, but I took it on board anyway. Ricardo just encouraged me, said, no, don't be afraid of the challenge. Just meet and just trust God. We'll make up for whatever you don't have. So I applied for it, and the interview was around in January time. The interview went quite well. I do praise God on that. And what happened was like the interview was half an hour long. But we managed to finish it within 30 minutes, and of course the line manager was interviewing me. He was like, okay, we'll get back to you once we made our final assessments and let you know whether or not you've been successful or not. And typically interviews normally get back to you after 2 or 3 days, or maybe sometimes even a week, depending on all the candidates they have to look at. And in my case, they got back to me within 15 minutes. So within 15 minutes, like, they say, yeah, we really liked you. You definitely got the job, and we would like to engage you straight away. I'm like, wow, this is just a miracle compared from what I've been going through this whole time. So the job began in March, on March 7th. Excuse me. And then I was enrolled onto my first project. As I said, like, this was a bit overqualified for me, so I had to do a lot of learning on the job. And the manager knew that even when I was going through the interview stages, but he said if I just have the right attitude, just apply myself and learning, I'll be able to do fine, because the experience you can always get if you just are willing to work hard. And that was something I was willing to do. And so going through the job phases, they put me on my first project, which is work with machine learning, making with modern day technologies, making AI computer bus systems in order to thing to make a lot of services automated, so that you don't have to rely on human interactions. So that's what I was enrolled on doing, and I was given 4 months to complete the project, which was in 4 months from March to until July, so beginning of July. But I managed to finish it within 3 months. And the interesting thing is, when I was a month in, so around April time, approaching the end of April, my manager really liked my work ethic and how much I was doing, because at this time I was already presenting my development cycle, showing them how well I've been doing, and just and getting very good approval and very good words from the client that I was making the software for. My manager was speaking to me, and he said to me, "I would like for you to try to get a permanent place in this university, because I think you've been working very well. I think you'll be a very good fit if you became a full-time developer here." And I was like, one of the first things I said to him, "I don't think I have the experience for the role that you are offering me, because I've only just joined this internship, and I'm only a month or two into it, and this internship was for a year, so I was still technically in my probation period, which was meant to last for 6 months." And so I was a bit reluctant, but he had more confidence in my ability than I did, because I felt like this is way too overqualified for me. But I prayed and I just trusted that if this is God's will for me, that the Lord will enable me to be able to meet the challenge again and be able to handle the promotion. But I said yes. I applied through them interview stages, which were held in June. And yeah, the interview as well, it went well. Like, the much more harder questions they were asking me, because like this is more standard, more experienced. I'm developer, because like they're gonna be wanting to require you to do a bit more responsibilities. So they answered a series of various questions, and they got back to me within I think 2 days, and they said, yeah, you were successful. We'd like to employ you on a permanent basis, and the benefits of that, they've brought me onto a bigger project that's at the foundation of the university. Like, they're changing one of the old systems and they're bringing in a new system, and they want me to be one of the few leading developers who kind of pioneer this and lead it forward. And besides that as well, I got a salary increase, which is always good. Yeah, which is always good. And it was just really good to be in that environment. And for me, and this will happen within the space of 3 months, this promotion, because I'm having only been working with them since March. And it was really amazing just to see how the Lord prepared and just brought me through the adversities and difficult times, and just for simply trusting in Him, even in the face of rejections and being told, "Oh, you're not experienced enough. You don't have the right level of, expertise for this type of role." Like, but when you trust in God, He can make the impossible possible. You know, He can always make up for anything that you don't have. And it was very good to be able to see God's goodness and just the reward of my faith being given to me in a very dramatic and a very thing a practical way. And yeah, and since then everything has been going so well, and yeah, and just things are advancing very well for myself, and I'm really getting a lot of recognition already in the university, because my project done really well. The client who I was actually made for, she's an executive in the university, and she's already shared my project to other universities and said, we have a developer who's made something that's quite new, in the sense that it's a leading in this field, because like no other university has managed to crack what we've done, and they really want to put me on the forefront of the developers, and they want me to make a version 2 of the machine learning project that I made for them, and that's all really by the grace of God, and yeah, so it's going really well. Thank you.
Amen. That's the heart of the Father, revealing the heart of the Father. God knows where we are. God knows where we are. I always say this, that He knows the end from the beginning. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He knows. He knows where we are. And I remember when I was speaking to Desiree that time, you know, is having that. And what he wasn't saying is that the university, when he got rejected the first time by the university, he called me and I said, they're going to call you back. And he was thinking, like, how can it, there's no way possible. But you see, if you pray for people and we have the heart of the Father for people, or wherever we are, God will speak to us about them. And you all know that God, sometimes, most of the times that I don't get Him, most of the times He answered the prayers that you pray for other people. But when it comes to you, it just seems to take a little bit longer. Isn't it? It just takes a little bit longer. And because the heart of the Father is the Lord, you know, He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so when we prayed that, and then he felt like, naturally speaking, there's no way that they're going to come back. I put my head on it, you know, and I said, Lord, I believe this for him. I want him to be able to be a voice that one day when you show up for him, that I'll take him places to actually share the testimony of what God is doing and what God is, and God is continuing. He just gets promotion all the time. You know, next 3 months, promotion again and promotion again. But the promotion, I always believe God promotes people not for status. He promotes us for service. He promotes us so that we can influence the influencers at the top. He's talking about executives saying to other universities, hey, you need to come on board. Because God doesn't bless us just to have more money. He blesses us so we can influence the influencers. The people who don't want to listen, when you get, they'll be like, oh, you came here because of what you've done. You have credibility that we want to hear what you have to say as well. And that's what promotion. Promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from man. Yes, man, they give you promotion, but the Lord has orchestrated it, so that you could show your character, and that your character is an invitation to the heart of the Father. And when I prepared the message, I was sharing with Desiree, because I like to sometimes share, and then I call a friend and say, yeah, what do you think about this scripture? And we were just, you know, going back and forth. And he mentioned that our characters should be an invitation to the heart of the Father to other people. It should be an invitation when they come to us. And I said to Desiree, doesn't matter, even if you got rejected, let your character speak. And he said, I'm willing, if there's anything that you guys want to do, I'm willing to learn. And that is what got him into that, because people is like, because for me particularly, I'd rather go with somebody who's willing to learn and willing to be teachable and not have the degree than have somebody who's got the degree but no character or no teachability in them. I don't want to work with it, because what's going to happen, before long, those people are going to speak against or become jealous or envious about what you have. I want to be among people who know in their own lane that this is who they are, this is what God has called them, and this is who God has wired them and how God has wired them, and they run their lane, and I run my lane, and we're literally just running and encouraging each other. Well done, keep going. Yeah, yeah, mate, well done. You know, we're not getting in other people's lane. We keep running our lane. And once we run our own lane, we encourage other people to run in their own lane. And that's the heart of the Father. So we're singing songs this morning about the heart of the Father, that we're running after him. You know, he says that, you know, what was that? When it says his goodness is running after me. And in this story about the prodigal son, which Alex was saying, and I like what Alex was sharing there about that, the heart of the Father. Lord, I ask you, what should I do with my job? And he just say nothing. He just overwhelmed you with his presence. It's amazing. And then you're kind of like, yeah, I don't need the answer today, Lord, because it feels good. You're comforting me through all of this. And the prodigal son's father really touched my life, because growing up without a father, I did not understand what was the character of the father, because I don't know. You know, I've seen my friends and their fathers, and they go to their football matches, and I would see how they encourage their kids and really inspire their kids. And I was like, I long for that. You know, and I started playing football, hoping that if I play on the tally, maybe I could buy my dad a house and he could come and live with us. You see what I mean? It's like I didn't understand the heart of the Father. So when Jesus found me, I didn't know how to respond to the Heavenly Father. And the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Luke chapter 11, the disciple says, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because whenever you pray and come back from that place, that solitary place, things seem to be happening. You encounter with the Father, then you come back. It's this constant, even with Jesus feeding 5,000 people. I mean, that's revival, right? 5,000 people, that is just men, excluding children and wives. So maybe it could have been 15,000, whatever that might be. But Jesus fed everybody with still a boy's packed lunch, and he still have 11 baskets left. What? But he looked through the eyes of compassion, and he served these people, because his heart was for the lost, the broken, the marginalized, and he just showed this. And what was amazing, after feeding 5,000 people, the Bible said Jesus withdrew himself to go to the Father and interact with the Father. And the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus says, this is how you start. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be his name. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say it's not my Father, it's our Father. And so therefore this whole thing about having our Father in our mind, with Desiree, when I felt the rejection of him, our Father, I went to our Father. I said, Lord, he might be despondent right now, but I come to you as our Father and not my Father, but this is our Father. And the Lord spoke to me about him while he was still weak. And because it's our Father, teach us how to pray. And in this, in the overview and the background of Luke chapter 11, this story is all about being lost and found. There's three stories Jesus tells the Pharisees, the self-righteous people, because they couldn't understand this story of grace that Jesus is sharing to them, with them. And he's sharing this, it's lost and found, three stories in one. The lost sheep, where the shepherd left 99 for one. That's not a good business deal, right? Imagine leaving 99 for one. If it's me, I'll be like, I got still 99. That's okay. I've still got a profit. But he leaves the 99 to go chase after the one. And when the shepherd found him, put him on his shoulder and brought him back, brought the sheep back into the fold. Then the woman with the lost coin, she diligently sought for the coin. And when she had found it, the Bible says, she called her friends and said, come and celebrate, I found. For us, it's just a coin. It might be thing like a 50p. When I think coin, I'm like, oh, maybe 50p. That is like a whole year's wages. This woman found that and she says, come and celebrate with me. But the story about the shepherd goes and finds the lost sheep. The woman finds the lost coin. But the prodigal son's father never went out to find him. It says that he came to his senses. Why did he come to his senses? Because he understood that the heart of his father made him realize my father had hired servants, but he treats them with so much grace. And then he came to his senses. And I want to just quickly give us the characteristics of the father, because we are all called to reflect this culture amongst one another, reflect this culture among the people that we connect with in different spheres of influence. Last year has been a crazy year for me, you know, with, you know, got made redundant, and it was just crazy, crazy, crazy. There was times where I did not pray. You couldn't get me to pray. Oh my goodness. Have you ever been in that place where you can't even pray? The Ricardo, the encourager, didn't find nothing. I said, Lord Jesus, I said, I am disappointed in certain things that happen, which I won't go into. But the Lord said this to me. He says, I know you're coming in, you're going out. Yeah, but give me a job. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Lord. But the thing is, that's not what I need. But it's when Alex shared that about when he came to MacArthur Glen and actually just see this overwhelming love. God just kept loving me. And I was like, in the midst of all of that, while encouraging him, I was still looking. Lord, what about me? And God says, he who encourages others encourages himself. So I'm drawing from his encouragement. Our Father, while I'm waiting on you, you says that I will renew my strength because I'm waiting on you. While I'm waiting, I'm celebrating. Because rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And that's the heart of the Father. And because God has given me this grace to kind of like live in between, I'm so happy for him. But when I go home, behind closed doors, nobody knows. Nobody knows. People expect you the next day, come on, let's go again. I'm like, I'm not going nowhere. I am just tired. And I'm just sitting in the house. And Jesus, today, I'm not praying. And today, and you know, you're kind of like trying to, it's this thing in you that's trying to figure out what God is doing. But a year on from that, when he gave me this, my business, my coaching business and mentoring business, I've impacted more people now through the business and then trusting God to bring them in, because God said to me, through your business, I need you to show the heart of the Father to the lost, the broken, and these kids that you're hanging out with. Before you speak about me, show my heart to them. Because if they can see your heart, because sometimes it messes up their brain. It's like, even with teachers, some teachers, I'm just thinking like, man, you need Jesus. Oh, this kid's, this effing kid's. Did you just say that? And then look at me, saying like, but you never say anything bad about these kids. Because I'm revealing the heart of the Father to these kids. The school has given me another day now. They says, you need to come in again. And in September, I start in Cardiff and Vale College as well. If you encourage others with the heart of the Father, the Lord will take care of you. But sometimes we want to take care of ourselves. Lord, I'm here. And what about me? Remember the time that I did this and I did that? And the Lord is like, yeah. When the prodigal son came to his senses, he realized that I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against my Father. That's coming to his senses. But the first characteristic I want to quickly talk about is in verse 20, when it says that the father was filled with compassion. So the first characteristic of revealing the heart of the Father is compassion. We need to have compassion. You know, compassion for one another, but also compassion for the lost and the broken. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God." So God is a God of compassion. I could comfort him with the comfort that God has comforted me. Because sometimes when we go through trials, have you ever noticed this as humans? Oh my goodness. When we go through a tough time, it feels like it's the first time we've never been through trials in life. It's so overwhelming that you think, oh my goodness, how am I going to get out of this? But if you really look back and you see, 2005, 2007, I've been through the same thing and God brought me through it. But when we go through it, it feels like you are alone. It feels like you are alone in this situation. But the God and Father of compassion will comfort us. I could comfort him because I've been a little bit longer. I've been on the road a bit longer than him. So therefore, I could say, oh, hold on a minute, don't worry. The Father of all comfort will comfort you. And with the same comfort that he has comforted me, I can comfort you. And so the Lord says, if you look at him and show my heart to him, I will give you a job. Because the university, I just had a text that says, oh, there's so many people that wants to be in the college and funding and all of this, but you have to be in this college. I'm like, you're right. I need to be in that college for sure, because you guys need the heart of the Father in this college. The assistant principal says, no, I'll get back to you. I said, please don't take too much time. Because before I go to holiday, I need to know I'm coming back. I didn't look for this. A man's gift, a woman's gift will make room for them. Bring them before influential people, kings and you know, the influential people. Like I said, it is so that you can show them. Joseph had a gift, and he unlocked Egypt. Just like that. He interpreted the dreams, and Daniel. The gift is to unlock. What's happening, even in where we find ourselves, it is the Father of all comfort, is the compassionate Father. We have to be compassionate towards people. I still get calls from Cape Town that my mom would say, Ricardo, these kids don't listen anymore. I said, put them on the phone. And I would show the compassion of Jesus while in my head. Have you ever been showing compassion, but you're mad in your head? You're so disappointed in them, and you're in your head. But in your heart, you're like, hey, come on, have a think about this. My mom says, don't tell them to have a think about it. You need to tell them to stop. And I said, Mom, and this compassion just comes over me. Hey, Dwayne, what's happening? Puta, you see, nobody loves me. Hey, so you say, I don't love you. Yeah, you do. And Puta, also, you never judge me. You never used to judge me. You still don't judge me. And see that compassion? He receives that. And then he becomes calm. But in my head, I had many fights with him without him knowing. But it's this compassion that says, I can comfort you when you have compassion. But also the Bible says that the father ran. In the Jewish culture, men never ran. So Jesus tells the story, and the Pharisees must have thought, what are you on about? Because that's shameful, that's undignified. Men don't run because you have to lift up your robe to run. So the father took the shame upon himself by the community for them to mock him because he's running to his son. And the reason why he ran to his son is because of the Kizaza ceremony. Whenever I read the Bible, I want to find out what is the Jewish understanding of it. The reason why the father ran is because of this Kizaza ceremony. And the Kizaza ceremony, Kizaza means the cutting off. So the community in the Jewish culture, they live in community. And when we talk about community, we don't even see each other every day. They saw each other every day. They lived in community. So if you leave and you squander the money with Gentiles in a foreign country, it means that you've took the money that was supposed to be our money and you squander it. So the Kizaza ceremony, they would take a clay pot and put burned beans in there. And then when you come back home, because remember, the elders would sit at the gates. So you can't just come in. Like in Lisbon, you can come in from anywhere. But if there was just one gate, you would know you can't get past these guys. So they were looking for him to come back. so that they could do the kizaza ceremony. And everybody were waiting. We can't wait to get him. We can't wait to get him. He's going to, you know, we're going to tell him. And as they were waiting, the father saw the kid a long off, and he ran. So the kizaza ceremony, they would break the pot in front of you that signified you no longer welcome him. That's why the father ran towards the son. Because if the father can get to the son before the community gets to the son, then the father can restore him. That's why he ran. And we might just think, oh, he was just running. Why is he running? That's great. He's running after his son. No, he's running so that he can restore his son. Because these people were already had the pot ready, just waiting for him to come. And the father restored him. And the Pharisees must have thought, what kind of father is that? Unfit father. Look, he's too soft. But it's not being soft. It's the compassion that he has for his son. And he said that this son that was lost has now been found. He was dead, but now he is alive. And the father restored him because he came to his senses. Whenever we come to our senses, even if things that we're doing, that's not right. I always encourage people, don't be afraid to say to the Lord, you know what, Lord, I had it wrong there. Because when we say we had it wrong, the Lord just restores us. The father never sits there and say, yeah, Ricardo, thanks for your honesty, but listen, let me tell you how disappointed I am in you. And don't talk back. Where's your respect? I never hear the father does that. In the story, he says, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, Father. And the father didn't even say, oh, thank you so much. You know how long I was waiting for that? And please don't ever do that again. He says to his servants, quickly get the robe, put it on him, get the ring, restore the relationship and the covenant I have with him, and get the shoes, because servants never wore any sandals. And so he says, restore my son, while my son is talking about make me a servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Have you ever felt like that, where you feel like, Lord, I'm not worthy because I've done this, 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 and this? The father, I've never heard God ever say to me, now listen, and kind of like make me. You know, where you feel like, oh, sorry, I'm so sorry. And then you begin to feel shameful of what you've done. When God, when we begin to confess, he just takes that, because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we could become the children of God. So he took his shame just like running, like that father. Jesus died on the cross, and he took the shame. So whenever I'm doing something wrong, I know it's already been nailed to the cross. But now I'm going to be honest and transparent so that I can learn in moving forward. That's the heart of the father all the time. But also the second characteristic is in verse 22, the father restores him back. Because the garment speaks about we've been clothed with righteousness, not because of our own righteousness. So it talks about covering. And the ring signifies relationship. And the shoes for the readiness of the gospel of peace. The father restores him, the father forgave him. Father never judged him. If you read in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says that the tax collectors and the sinners came to hear Jesus speak because of this compassion, because of not being judgmental, not because he knows that he's here to restore the broken, the lost, and the hurting. So they came to listen to him, but the Pharisees were mad. What kind of man is this? Jesus should be sitting with us. Our self-righteous, he should be sitting with us, but yet he's eating with sinners. And this is, I always tell myself, Ricardo, if you want to know the heart of the Father, you have to look at the Gospels, how Jesus treated people. How would we treat a prostitute if a prostitute came in here? And a prostitute just says, I just had this vision in MacArthur Glen, and I saw the love of Jesus, and I'm going to Lisbon Baptist Church this morning. I actually needed to go somewhere to make money, but I get this overwhelming sense of the love of God, and I'm going to LBC. If a prostitute came in, how would we welcome? What would the welcome look like? You see what I mean? But when the heart of the Father is released, even the prostitute will be restored. It happened to Jesus. They were about to stone the woman, these men, and says, the law of Moses said that she can be stoned because she's a prostitute. And Jesus stood there. He drew a line in the sand. And this woman must have thought, oh, is he going to pick up a stone too? And Jesus says, you who are without sin, go on, cast the first stone. And they turned around and they left. And this woman is one of the women that I really want to see in heaven. I want to ask her, what did you feel like that day when you saw that you were about to be stoned? And Jesus, seeing her through the eyes of compassion, restores her with so much love. And I wonder, would somebody ever go back to being a prostitute after that encounter? Have you ever encountered somebody that they feel so overwhelmed by your presence that they begin to tell you stuff that they never told anyone? Right? That's the heart of the Father. I get that many times and it's fun because I want to show up with compassion, not having a judgmental spirit, but have a spirit that says, I understand and I'm a journey with you and I know it'll take time, but I'm gonna journey with you. I'm not just coming in and going out in your life. God gives me people. That's why I'm still here, because God has connected me with people that's here and saying, go and remind them of my heart. Go and share my heart with them. And I don't journey with a lot of people. I have a lot of acquaintances, but I have certain people that God has put in my life and says, I need you to show the heart of the Father to them. I need you to show them. I need you to let them see who I am. He came to his senses and he remembered the Father's character and he took action and he went home. One sinner that gives their life to Jesus, the angels in heaven rejoice. I shared this message in the Isle of Wight and I just said to people, listen, this is how he is. If you're lost, he'll find you. The reason you're here, because he brought you here. And people gave their lives to Jesus, just a simple message. If you're lost, he'll find you. If you're lost, he'll chase after you. His goodness keeps running after me. Okay, goodness and mercy follow me. Good, good. It's a good deal. But it's the heart of the Father that needs to be revealed. And he says in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things, things which you don't know of yet. And this is the heart of the Father. Never give up on your family. Never give up on your friends, particularly the ones that you're having a fight with in your head. Don't give up on them. Keep showing them compassion. Keep showing them the love of God. Even though you feel at times you're so tired and things come out, and you think, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said that. Call a friend. Call a friend and say, listen, I'm about to blow up. My sister, I'm about to blow up with her. Find a trusted person that can hold you accountable. I said, listen, mate, I just want to say this disappointing thing about my mom, because she doesn't get me. And when that is done, I said, now let's pray. Let's pray that God will reveal the heart of the Father in this. Because when you do that and they begin to be restored, they will remind you of what you said last summer. Mm-hmm. They will tell you, yeah, but you remember when you said that? It's like, no, I'm restored now. I'm no longer like that. They will remind you. And that's why my nephews, they would say, you never judged me. But in my head, I had some conversations that I did not share with you. And I'm so glad I didn't. Because now I can take you by the arm and I can journey with you and I can show the heart of the Father towards you. Just a couple of scriptures here to finish off. Psalm 68 verse 5 and 6 says, that God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Remember when my dad left my mom always said, oh, I saw a scripture in the Bible, he takes care of the widow. Oh, I'm sorted out, Ricardo. You can eat now because God takes care of the widow and the orphan. And he puts the lonely into families. I was like, Mom, what kind of scripture is that? He says, you eat because I believe that he takes care of the widow. And it's here when it says the father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. Remember when Philip asked Jesus, when can we see the Father? You know when he asked that question in John 14? He says, when can we see the Father? Jesus says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. If people look at us, do you know, I sometimes just say, Lord, would you just give us job with atheist people, Lord? I pray that, Lord, would you put us among atheists who don't believe in God? But if they see you, they will know that there's a Father. Because they don't believe there's a God, right? And we're like, oh, come on. And we're trying to debate them. Let's debate this thing out. A made-up mind is hard to change. If they believe there's no God, then what makes me think going in there, debating and doing, what is it, apologetics? Their mind is made up. They're trying to convince me there is no God. And I'm trying to convince them that there is a God. But how would they know if they haven't seen? So if you've seen me, the character that I have, then there must be a God. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And this is the message for us today, that we will know the heart of the Father. We will begin to reveal the heart of the Father. We'll begin to look at ourselves and say, Lord, I'm coming to my senses because I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit in areas of my life that I should work on. When that happens, God will always redirect you. All this. I think sometimes we don't want to... I've learned with Emma, right? Emma Newman. I remember when God moved me on. She said this to me. She said, Ricardo, I've learned from you. And I said, what did you learn? And she says, I've learned sometimes when you're wrong, you just put up your hand and say, I'm wrong. Because even if I don't put my hand up, she still knows I'm wrong. So before she tells me that I'm wrong, I'm like, I am wrong. Because I'm convicted that it's wrong, but now we are convinced of righteousness, now we can move into the place, but she can also hold me accountable. Right? I can hold her accountable and say, come on, collectively, our Father which are in heaven has helped both of us in this relationship to go where we need to go. And now I've got so much respect for people like that because I've learned, hey, I'm just wrong. Because the Holy Spirit convict me. Even, have you ever seen people like this? They wrong, but the Holy Spirit convicts them, but they don't take heat. Because the spirit of pride can come. And pride goes before destruction. All the time. So for me, I've learned as soon as I'm wrong, because everybody can see, if you had a cricket match and they hit that ball and you on the byline and that ball comes and you catch it and it drops, you can't blame the bowler and say, mate, you shouldn't have bowled like that. And you shouldn't have hit it like that. All of us can see, and you are, the replay shows there now on that screen, slow motion, how you've dropped the ball. But the other sense is, if you drop the ball, quickly get the ball back and throw it to the bowler. And then just say, sorry, 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 gone. And then let's go on. Made a mistake, let's move on. But if it's like, yeah, but the thing is, if you really look at it, he wasn't supposed to bowl, and only if you bowled, and then this wouldn't have happened to me. And it's, no, you did. The conviction is for righteousness. The conviction is so that we can show the heart of the Father in a different way. So when we meet people who feel like we felt, we can say to them, I know where you've been, because I used to do that too. So how did you come over that? And now I can talk to the atheist and say, I know you don't believe in a God, but I'm telling you that he's the God of all comfort. And he showed me compassion. And he loved me through my mess. And he's given me a message. So whatever you see is the glory of God. Ooh, maybe I should look into that and go to an alpha course. You win them back. Just like the prodigal son. You win them back. The Bible says, he who wins souls are wise. What is the soul made up of? Your will, your mind, your emotions. If an atheist believes in their mind that there's no God, then I have to win them so that they can see there is a God. It takes time. It takes time. Don't rush. Because if the prayer that we pray that we think is so quickly, then all your family should have been saved by now because of your one prayer. It's never like that. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Keep praying, keep praying. It's not because you have unbelief. Just keep praying because there's spiritual warfare going on in principalities and powers is trying to block you and your family from getting saved because they know if you give up, they won't meet Jesus. So if prayer was that easy, I still pray for my sister who's still sleeping under a bridge in South Africa, in Cape Town, sleeping under a bridge. I'm like, you come from a good home. What makes you sleep under a bridge? Your kids you grew up with, they got kids too. And I can just see the cycle. Did I stop praying for my sister? No. When I go to Cape Town in December, I know all of them are coming home. But when they come home, I'm going to tell them testimonies of God's faithfulness. I'm going to share the heart. I'm going to share about what has happened here in my life. I'm going to share about the faithfulness of God. And I'm going to share about the struggles I've been through. But how the heart of the Father has just lifted me in that. So that they can say, you know what? I think I need to give my life to Jesus. Based on what they hear. It's not just the good stories. It's the stories of going through rejection and seeing the heart of the Father. And I think sometimes it's just good to share with people about our weaknesses too. So they can say, oh, yeah, you're always upbeat, Ricardo, but I never knew that your father left you. My father left, but also he gave his life to Jesus at the end, before he died. Because he realized that my son I've never taken care of has received this love from his heavenly Father. And he was so convicted by my life that how God has turned my life around, because my destiny was never tied to him anyway. My destiny is not tied to my family. My destiny is tied to Jesus and what he has given unto me. And so when I gave my life to Jesus and I preached at his funeral, and I heard that same message at the funeral, and I thought that he never told me. Some people will never tell you, but you've been a blessing to them. They might never say it. My father, I've heard stories of how he actually was so proud of me, but he never told me. I heard it from other people. I still heard it anyway. Whether he told me, whether he didn't tell me, he's given his life to Jesus because of the testimony. And the Lord said this to me, he says, even though your earthly father wasn't there, your heavenly Father will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Even if you feel like I'm not there for you, I'm always there for you. He says, I'm going to take you through this. I'm a journey with you. I'm the father to the fatherless, and I got you, Ricardo. And the Lord said this to me. He says, if you look at your dad from an earthly perspective, you will find that both of you are my sons. He's told me that. He says, both of you are my sons in the heavenly understanding and perspective. Both of you are my sons. But from an earthly perspective, you will tell me, Lord, if my father could only have been this father that you said. And the Lord says, no, because you're my sons, I will draw you to me. So now I'll come to heaven and I'll see my dad. But I guess I won't see him as my father. I'll see him as my brother. You guys see what I mean? It's a different perspective of how we need to view things from God's perspective and not from our perspective, particularly the things that is very difficult. The things that we need to make decisions on, look at from his perspective. The Lord said to me, because you are made redundant, can you see how free you are now? You were made redundant, but now you're more free. You're in my purpose and in my will. So while you're waiting for me, find somebody else that you can share my heart with. And when I bless them, I bless you. LBC, we need to come to a place where the heart of the Father flows through these streets and wherever we find ourselves. But we first have to come to our senses and say, Lord, there's certain things in my life. That is not right. I'm just open. I lift my hand up. I'm the guy that dropped the ball. But I'm also ready to go for the next play. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. This is the day that you have made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I pray for LBC. Father, I pray that your heart will even touch them today. Holy Spirit, that you will remind them of the love that you have. The Bible says that God has lavished his love upon us. And Father, I pray that your love will flow in their lives today. Father, I pray for their family and friends who don't know you as yet. Lord, when they see your character through us, it will be an invitation to them to know you. So Father, I speak blessing over this house. I speak your favor. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will give dreams and visions, and that your heart will be revealed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your time.